So our next presenter is Michael Shankel, who is the Director of Prevention and Policy with Health HIV, one of the largest national HIV nonprofits. Michael is responsible for leading the organization's day-to-day prevention and policy efforts. Michael began his career as a research specialist with the University of Pittsburgh's Graduate School of Public Health in the Department of Infectious Diseases and Microbiology. In 2006, Michael joined the AIDS Action Committee of Massachusetts and is the Director of LGBT Health.
Good afternoon. How great is it to come after an award and then kick a speaker off the stage? I love it. I'm going to be talking today about the State of HIV Primary Care Survey, a survey that is conducted by Health HIV on an annual basis, and talking about some of the rapidly evolving landscape changes in access to HIV care. I have no relationships to disclose, and the presentation that I've outlined is basically briefly talking about some of the major drivers in the HIV prevention and care landscape around the country, talking about the state of HIV primary care survey, defining the role of the typical primary care provider in the United States, comparing some of the perceptions between HIV care providers and non-HIV primary care providers. And then ultimately talking about healthcare reform issues and how that's impacting the landscape, all in 15 minutes. So very, very quickly, as we know, we have more than 1.2 million people in the United States living with HIV. About 20% of those don't know they are infected. And consistently, we have had a really stable incidence of HIV at about 50,000 new infections per year. We have less than 500,000 individuals that are retained in care and less than 200,000 that have an undetectable viral load. We've had this great surge in the care that we've provided, so the number of people living with HIV continues to increase. Our HIV treatment cascade models that have been developed showing the individuals that have been diagnosed with HIV, ultimately tracking through their linkage to care, retention in care, if they're prescribed ARTs, and ultimately only 25% of those individuals, again, are virally suppressed. We have a treatment landscape that's becoming much simpler to administer. Deaths from opportunistic infections have declined over the years, and HIV is moving to a chronic disease status. The HIV treatment delivery is really shifting at this time from specialty care to primary care, and a lot of that is being driven by the changing landscape environment and the decrease in the number of specialists that are available. We have a national HIV AIDS strategy that you're all, I'm sure, familiar with, giving us three goals as a nation to strive to by 2015. And on a federal level, there has been a reallocation of resources that have happened around the country based on HIV incidence. We have new biomedical preventions, and you'll hear about some of those today, ranging from the treatment as prevention data that was released last year or the year before at the International AIDS Conference, and information related to PrEP, pre-exposure prophylaxis, as a new biomedical prevention strategy. We had the Affordable Care Act that was upheld by the Supreme Court, in which we anticipate about 33 million uninsured individuals will gain coverage by 2014, that is if every state expands Medicaid. And then we have this looming issue that's occurring in September of 2013, Ryan White HIV/AIDS program and the reauthorization of that program or extension of the program. Additionally, as we start assessing all these new strategies that are out there, we realize that there's a greater impact and intersection between clinical medicine and the public health care system. So we're getting this a grayer area between what is clinical medicine and public health practice. When we look at the fracturing landscape in delivery of HIV care, again, we have the number of patients increasing. The number of patients that are increasing in the country. The caseloads among providers are increasing. And you have the number of specialists decreasing and primary care providers having a shortage in the country. And we see this shift happening as more and more people are accessing care in community health centers. Health HIV started a national survey that was conducted starting in 2010. It was repeated every year since of providers. This talk I'm going to be talking about is really on the second annual survey, which was conducted in the fall of 2011. The survey was actually fielded by Health HIV and Medscape using an online survey methodology, and it was targeted to HIV specialists and primary care providers in the United States. It consisted of 45 questions, both quantitative and qualitative in nature, and the data is going to be about a convenience sample that was the data was obtained from, and it was not incentivized. It took approximately 30 to 35 minutes for a provider out of their time to complete this survey. In the United States, we had 1,806 providers or individuals that responded to the survey from physicians, nurse practitioners, physician assistants, and as we narrowed that down, we narrowed the sample down to 627 prescribers of HIV medications that are providing HIV care or not providing HIV care, but having the ability to write a script. And we asked respondents to identify if they were a credentialed HIV specialist, HIV primary care provider, and we'll describe that in a second, and a primary care provider that was not providing care to HIV. And for this survey, we're talking about a credentialed HIV specialist. So my terminology is going to change a little bit as we go through this. That is an individual that is credentialed through a national body. We have an HIV care provider, which is a primary care provider that is providing, that is not identified as a specialist, but is providing direct primary care to their patients. And an HIV provider can be both the PCP or an HIV specialist. And when I talk about primary care providers, those are individuals that are not necessarily providing any HIV primary care. So this just shows the breakdown of the respondents that we ended up with the 627 providers that were MDs, ODs, nurse practitioners, physician assistants that were able to prescribe medications. When we looked at the sample, we began to develop a profile of what the profile of an HIV primary care provider in the country. And that individual was a white female, typically a medical doctor, between 50 and 59 years of age, living in an urban community, and practicing in a family practice environment, and typically in the South. Some of the differences that we noticed between the different stages of providers were that more MDs and ODs were credentialed HIV specialists, and more NPs were credentialed among PCPs. More HIV specialists had an infectious disease specialty background. There were more males that were credentialed as HIV providers as compared to PCPs. And PCPs were less likely to work in urban settings, but working in community health settings. We asked providers their motivation for providing services, and of course, their interest in working with underserved communities, their concern about health quality and disparities, a response to a perceived community need that they need to be providing HIV care. HIV providers working in CHCs reported these same reasons for providing services as compared to other types of providers. When we asked providers to start assessing how they are addressing co-occurring conditions with HIV, you can see our breakdown here that 38% of those responding to our survey indicated that they spend about equal time caring for HIV as they do for other co-occurring conditions. 36% indicated that they spend most of their time caring on the single issue of HIV, and 26% of those providers, of the 627 providers, indicated that they spent most of their time dealing with co-occurring conditions. When we looked at HIV caseloads, this is a number that has been increasing over the years and trending up since 2010. 74% reported increased caseloads in providing HIV caseloads in the past 12 months, as compared to some of the Ryan White providers, which indicated a 57% increase in their caseloads. And this just is another example on how we looked at the increasing demand on providers. We asked them to assess if their caseload has increased in the past 12 months, if patients are seeking their services for more primary care services, or if in fact they predict that in the next 3 years they're going to be spending more time providing HIV care. When we looked at federal funding programs, we see that Medicaid, Ryan White programs, and Medicare were the top funding streams for individuals in HIV care. Private insurance fell next, and most often reported barrier that physicians were reporting or clinicians were reporting were the inability for patients to provide payment for services. When we began to ask about educational needs, one of the issues that emerged immediately was the issues around hepatitis and treating hepatitis and multi-resistant HIV, resistant HIV, multi-drug resistant HIV. 44% of providers in our survey were not comfortable treating anybody with hepatitis C. Additionally, 29% were not confident in prescribing HIV drugs for individuals that had adherence concerns. When we looked at HIV providers, these are the individuals that are both a specialist and an HIV PCP, 18% were not confident in providing or managing antiretroviral adverse effects or side effects associated with them. 11% were not comfortable assessing whether a patient was ready to begin treatment. And 11% were not comfortable in providing long-term HIV care. Primary care providers, on the other hand, individuals that are not providing HIV care in their primary settings, were more so concerned about how they scale up HIV testing and counseling programs within their practices. These are some of the co-occurring conditions that physicians were seeing as increasing in their practices: heart disease, cardiovascular disease, renal disease, mental health, substance use were all increasing among HIV patients as co-occurring conditions. And 58% of HIV providers were seeing an increase in the number of HIV patients that also had another sexually transmitted disease. Providers that were offering care, 45% of those providers indicated that they lacked the clinical staff time to provide HIV services is one of their biggest barriers. And other barriers cited by more than a third of providers were a lack of referral to a partner organization in the community, a lack of reimbursement for services, or a lack of support staff to really take on new roles and procedures within the office. Not surprisingly, when we ask providers about their perceptions of cultural barriers in their practice, very few indicated that there were cultural barriers that that impacted an ability for clients to access services. I'm going to speed through this because I've been given the two-minute warning. On this. So barriers among PCPs not providing care, these are the individuals not providing HIV care, 60% of those really lacked a competency in providing treatment in their private practice settings or community health centers. When we talk about barriers, all providers indicated from a patient's perspective that stigma was one of the largest barriers, followed by English proficiency, immigration, and then access issues. And when looking about and comparing just our African-American providers with other providers, stigma was a higher barrier that's perceived for their patients. When we did an assessment on routine testing with HIV providers for their patients, and 67% of our African-American providers in a study indicated that their patients did not want to get tested for HIV. And we also, as we started diving into the data, when 4 out of 5 HIV providers indicated that they screened all their patients, we soon realized that the wordings of our question may be a little off. And as we went through and did some additional information and additional research with our providers, we found that, not surprisingly, that most providers were still using a risk-based approach to testing. And those providers that were not providing care are also not providing testing in their services. When we asked about some of the barriers to HIV routine testing, patient not wanting to be tested, increasing the need to think about how we implement opt-out testing in the country, low reimbursement or unavailable to be reimbursed for testing in the office setting, a lack of time to provide those screenings in the office, and HIV was not considered a pressing issue in 20% of the providers that were responding in the community. When we asked about their perceptions of the Affordable Care Act, 60% of providers indicated they felt that this act would have a direct impact on their practice. And when we talked about Ryan White providers and if they were ready to transition their patients from Ryan White to Medicaid or other insurances, 47% indicated that they were ready to do that. The rest of them hadn't even begun thinking about it or had just started considering that process. So I'm just going to breeze through here to the end. So when we talk about some of the conclusions of this, HIV primary care providers need to have increased continuing education opportunities to really build their confidence to provide quality HIV care and to also address the newly insured. Increase in access to HIV treatment in care outside of the Ryan White programs is something that we need to focus on. How do we build that continuum of care in our communities, focusing on community health centers and other primary care settings? We need to develop some new models to really enhance the HIV care continuum and to promote health outcomes, and that we may include pulling in non-clinical providers to help support the clinical providers in the continuum of care. And ultimately, we've heard a lot about workforce shortages that are happening in the country and with primary care settings. They are not going to simply be addressed by training more specialists in the country. We're going to really have to enhance primary care providers' HIV capabilities within their communities. Thank you.